Welcome to PageCast at Open Book Cape Town, a special edition of the regular podcast brought to you by Jonathan Bull Publishers. Usually we explore the latest in literature year-round, but today we're coming to you straight from the heart of the Open Book Festival, Cape Town's annual celebration of South African literature in an international context. In these festival-exclusive episodes, we sit down with some of the most inspiring voices in literature to delve into their stories, insights, and the powerful narratives that shape our world. Let's dive into the pages together. I am very, 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 I want to say lucky, fortunate to sit with Mervin Sloman, director of the Open Book Festival and the owner of Book Lounge. Welcome, Mervin. And I almost want to say it's like a sacred moment to have you here just for a few minutes, because I know that you are always running around. So thank you very much and welcome.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The Open Book Festival has become such a significant event on the South African literary calendar. Can you share the vision behind the festival's inception and how it has evolved over the years to become what it is today?
So the festival started as partially as a response to the fact that the events that we were doing at the Book Lounge in the first couple of years of the shop's existence were a lot more popular than I had expected. We ended up doing a lot more events. I thought we'd do, you know, a launch every now and then. But there was a space there that needed to be opened a little bit. And that was partially a space about interactions between writers and readers and creating access both ways, but also a little bit broader, just a space for conversation where people could feel comfortable and safe. And the festival began as a sort of extension of that in a way, because there's only so much you can do, you know, in one space like a bookshop. And the original conception of it was around building a festival, an international festival, writers from all over the world, including South Africa, and also trying to promote South African writers to an international audience, as well as, you know, a mission to sort of build a love of reading amongst younger people. It's evolved and changed and morphed over the years. And obviously, you know, the COVID was a great disruptor for us and for everybody else. COVID did also give us a space to actually rethink quite a lot of what we were doing. And we relaunched the festival post-COVID in 2021, I think, or whenever that was. And it's a smaller festival now. It's 3 days rather than 5 days, which is kind of what we were trying to do for years, but never, we always wanted to make it shorter. We focus far more now on South African writers. And the reasons for that are coming out of COVID. We just had, there was such a strong sense of what writers were being deprived of. And part of that was around, you know, sort of publicity opportunities to launch books and talk about their books and that kind of thing. But also in a lot of cases, it was livelihoods, you know. And so the festival in the post-COVID era, and we were kind of 3 years into that now, is still, it's about conversations, it's about writers, it's about books, it's about creating a safe space. But it's also about doing whatever we can to, you know, transfer some of that cash into the pockets of writers who absolutely need it. So that has been, I think, a big shift in terms of how we see the festival. Immediately post COVID, we only hosted South African writers, and what we've done now is just extended that a little bit to writers from the African continent, as you mentioned earlier. And I just think that that's incredibly important in the context of the horrendous Afro-racism that is a big part of our society. And it just feels really, really important to create a space, where we can understand ourselves in a festival context as part of a continent. But having said that, those African writers who we are inviting, are only writers who are actually based on the continent. We are not spending massive amount of money on international flights from the global north. That just feels unethical right now.
Okay, thanks. And I mean, you touched on it now, saying how the festival has changed post COVID. How do you go about curating this lineup of authors and events to ensure a diverse and representative showcase of local voices alongside then authors from the African continent specifically?
It's very, very important to us to curate a festival which is as representative as possible of the people in our city. And part of that, I mean, when people talk about representation or diversity, people often think about race, people think about gender, people think about sexual orientation and identity and stuff like that. And that is all absolutely, like, really important. But age is a demographic as well that is really important in our thinking. We want this to be a festival of young people. Not just young people. Oldies like me are welcome to attend. You can't be here if you're over 40. But it's really important for us to see young people engaging with writers, with books, for all sorts of obvious reasons in terms of the future. So a lot of thought goes into the program, in that regard. We are at the mercy of publishers to some extent in terms of what the books that publishers are publishing, right? And while I continue to have issues and concerns and all that kind of stuff in that regard, a look at the festival program this year, I think, as last year, also does reflect that there are a lot of really, really powerful books being published in South Africa. A range of voices finding their way onto the page, fiction, memoir, poetry, essays. So that is kind of the raw material that we work with. In terms of the curation, sorry, I'm rambling on, but in terms of the curation, I mean, we start bugging publishers towards the end of the year for, you know, any information about what books are likely to be published in the following year. Within the team, we read as much as possible to try and understand the books that are coming and try and see what makes sense to us and see the themes that evolve around a sort of intersection between what is being published and what is going on, as it were. Having said that, there are certain things which will always be important. You know, we are always going to have events which look at issues around queerness and what it means to be queer in the city, in the country, all that kind of stuff. You cannot run a festival which is relevant to people's lives without talking about the scourge of gender-based violence. I really hope that one of these days we will be able to, but that day is far away. You know, we live in a country which has got the most horrendous disparities on all sorts of different lines, and you know, a festival like this, which takes place in the city, takes place in people's lives, those are part of the conversations that we have to have.
Mm. Okay. And I mean, organizing a festival of this scale, I'm sure it comes with challenges.
Mm.
Can you maybe share some of those hurdles, or, you know, have you faced hurdles? What are the sort of challenges? And also, what are the most rewarding moments of putting something like this together?
Challenges are, there are lots of different challenges. Part of that relates to our dependence on publishers in terms of what they publish. Part of that is about money and getting enough funding to actually, pull the festival off. We've been spectacularly dismal at attracting corporate funding for the festival. Fortunately, publishers such as yourselves have been very, very supportive, and that's been absolutely crucial to the survival of the festival. And also, there are some, you know, other organizations and then various arms of government which have all been, well, some arms of government. But every year also you start from scratch with a lot of that, you know. And so you never know exactly what, you know, is the city of Cape Town going to come on board? Yes, they say they are. How much money are they going to give us? Are we going to get money from DSAC? If so, how much? And it's very, very difficult to get too far ahead in your planning when you don't know what your actual budget looks like. So that's one part of it. A big challenge, but is also, you know, a wonderful part of it is around curating a program and going, you know, which writers, which books, who are we putting together here? Who are we going to get to chair this particular discussion, to bring life to what is thoughts of ours, but we rely on other people to actually, you know, enact them and make them happen. And that is, that is an absolutely crucial part of the process. We've got a stronger team in place than we've had in previous years. De La Guala has joined the team this year. I am always sort of talking about taking half a step or a step back away from some of the organization. But I always say to people, historically always said to people that when Frankie and I sit down and do our first programming session, we will meet for probably about 6-7 hours, and we'll come out of that possibly with one event. But all those discussions, all the touching of the different books, the touching of the themes then informs the next session, which informs the next session. And then you get to a point where you kind of things start slotting into place. But yes, it's a lot of work, and yes, I can do a lot of moaning. But I'm also filled with gratitude because it's an absolute privilege to be able to do this. And which relates then to your second part of the question. Part of the answer to that is there are 4 to 5 months every single year when I swear that I will never do it again. And then the festival happens. And I am filled with a sense of gratitude. I'm going to use that word again for the way in which so many people engage with each other, engage with other writers, bring so much of themselves into the space. Audience members as well as writers, and there's something I think very beautiful about what happens, and it's beyond us. There's a, as I said at the opening bash, I don't have a sense of ownership of this festival. I have a sense of responsibility. I have a sense of the buck stops somewhere close to me, but my team and I do not own this festival. It is the extent to which it's owned is it's by Pumla, Maneo, Mahale, Nondwe, all the wonderful, wonderful people who year after year come into the space and create those conversations.
And I do have to ask you this question, though. I know Frankie sort of took a break at some point and then she came back. Was it because did you wear her down and so she decided to come back again? And was that sort of a big, obviously it's a plus for the festival because she was doing it for so long.
There are a couple of different parts to that conversation, and one of it was a ongoing sort of feeling for a couple of years that it wasn't a great idea to have the same two people, you know, doing all of this, and we just did not have enough money to bring in somebody else in a way that. So that was one part of the thing. And it was kind of in the context of that I think it was for about 3 years or so, Frankie was meandering towards leaving, you know. And each year I would go, yeah, I understand that, but managed to talk her out of it. And then at one point she was just like, okay, no, it's enough now, I'm going. Which she did. And then COVID happened and everything changed. And so we started off with the things that we were doing in COVID. Frankie still did some, you know, sort of work with the festival, with other people who were involved at that point. I'm not sure exactly, but there was a sort of gradual process of reintroduction, and then, you know, sort of blinked, and then she was kind of back where she'd always been before. And it was also sort of accompanied by, I think at the same time, my becoming more concerned, certainly in the COVID years, about my ability to put energy into the festival, because it felt like everything I needed to do was about the book lounge and the survival of the book lounge in that context. So it was kind of like me taking a couple of steps away from the festival while still keeping my fingers in there, Frankie sort of walking back to the festival. And yeah, I don't know. I think both of us will... is it an addiction? I'm not sure, but I don't think that
well,
either of us
are... Well, it sounds like a good description. I'm sure it is.
There's a level of addiction. But as I said, I think we do have a stronger team and it now, and it does feel like this year, for the first time, it feels like we are actually building something a little bit more sustainable for the future, which doesn't necessarily have to revolve around the two of us, which is not to say that Frankie's allowed to go anywhere. She's not. She's got to stay. I can meander around.
Well, we have this now in a recording, so she will send.
Okay.
She can't go anywhere.
Yeah. No, she's not allowed.
No, I mean, I also think you guys, you obviously make a great team. So it's sort of, you know, just by seeing what you put together. And I just want to also say that you touched on it now on the curation, that I think you are one of the, probably the festival that gets it right in terms of the interviewers that you put on the panels, because it's such an important part of a festival because it can go very wrong. So I think you guys really get it right.
Thank you. I mean, it is something that we put a lot of thought into. It is an absolutely crucial part of the festival, of any kind of events. There are times when we make mistakes, there are times when we get it wrong, and also we have to try different things, because you can't just have the same people sharing the same conversations every year, right? You need different voices, you need younger people coming in. I think maybe also we've got a little bit better at communicating exactly what we need and what we're asking people to do. But yeah, it is, you are, you know, when you're putting together a festival program, you are placing so much trust in the hands of that person who is facilitating that conversation. And it is, it's so, so important to find the right people.
Skill, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, there's some absolutely brilliant writers who are wonderful as panelists, but can't chair for shit. And I'll say it to their faces, you know. It doesn't make them any less special, you know.
No, that's true.
Yeah, but you also only find that out sometimes after you try. Yeah.
Is there anything you are very excited about or most excited about that's featuring at this year's festival?
It's always tricky for me to kind of highlight specific events. You know, there's always the feeling like I'm going to talk about this and then, you know, somebody's going to come and go, why wasn't my event? But I think so one of the things that we do every year now, which is conversations with Mahalia on a Friday evening. Which is run by Mahalia Mashego, who years ago she was being referred to as South Africa's Oprah, or possibly she referred to herself as South Africa's Oprah. I don't know. But it's become an integral part of what we do. It's a moment. It's the end of the first day. It's a conversation which is always themed around feminism in some way or another. And it is Black women on stage absolutely owning the space. And that is something that is very, very important, to us. And it's a highlight each year. I'm also really looking forward to the event that I'm doing. Generally, most years do something called Director's Cut, which is sometimes built around, oh, we've got a bit of a problem we need to fill because this writer's coming down from Joburg and we've only got one event for them, so let's just plonk them in there so Mervyn can kind of sort of solve that problem. But generally, it's around me just, you know, going, okay, I just want to talk to this person, this person, this person together, you know, not quite as simple as that. But yeah, so I'm going to be on stage with Margie Lissetti and Headley later. And I'm generally somebody who I read a lot more fiction than nonfiction. I prefer fiction. And this year, the three books that I've decided I want to talk about with the authors are all nonfiction, which is interesting for me, but they're all absolutely amazing books. So, I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, awesome. And then looking ahead, what are your aspirations for the future of Open Book? And just on top of that, are there any new initiatives or changes that you guys are excited to introduce in the coming years?
The way to answer your question, maybe easiest way to answer your question, is to talk about our enjoyment of collaboration. Okay. And I think that is something that we are, look, we've always been open to that, but we're also sort of building, and we're building new relationships. So somebody like Maneo Mahale, who participated in the festival last year and just blew us away. So then October, November last year, we started talking to them about how can we work together on something for the festival next year. And there've been lots and lots of conversations. And there's an event that happened yesterday, which was a conversation between Maneo and Kuleka Putuma. And that was not something we programmed. That was something Maneo programmed with us, right? We are working with Koketso Sachane this year, who we've worked with Koketso a lot in the past in terms of asking him to chair events, and he's absolutely fantastic at that. But he started doing a couple of, doing some things, you know, himself earlier this year under the House of Sachane brand. So, you know, sat down with Koketso, I don't know when it was, March, April, February, something early this year, and went, let's talk, let's see. And, you know, so we've got two events under the House of Sachane banner, which are completely different to anything we've done before and different to anything we would be able to program or curate ourselves, you know. And the various other entities that we're working with and partner with, and some of them are, you know, longstanding and some not. But I think I'm looking forward to the festival growing in that way, and building new partnerships and deepening some of those partnerships that are there already. I'm also very much looking forward to the different inputs into the program that broadening our team is creating the space for, if that is a sentence that makes sense. Yeah. And it's just about, I think, just building what we're doing. You know, yesterday we had our best ever ticket sales day in the history of the festival, going back all the donkey's years. You know, we beat I was checking this morning, our previous best day had been 2019, I think it was. So yeah, that's in this economy, and that's fantastic. It's that kind of thing which also gives you the power or the something to continue doing it, you know.
That's really amazing. No, thank you so much for joining us today. And I mean, you guys, this festival and what you are doing are really, it's important. And I think everyone who's involved feels that way. And I hope you guys continue to do this every year. And all the best for the rest of the festival with all the running around. So, yeah, thank you.
Thanks so much. It's been really nice to sit still in a chair for a while.
Thank you for joining us on this special edition of PageCast at Open Book Cape Town. Stay tuned for more conversations with incredible authors, curators, festival directors. Remember, every story brings us closer to understanding the world around us. Until next time, keep turning those pages.